We've been in this series now on the fruits of the Spirit called Living Proof, that the fruit of the Spirit is an evidence in our life that we're getting this Christianity thing right. And I don't know about you, but some of these should feel like challenges to us. Amen? Just me. All right. Amen. You're dismissed. I got nothing else to give you. But Paul writes about these fruits in Galatians chapter 5, and let's put it up on the screen. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and read it with me, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so we have been kind of going through these one by one, but it would be counterintuitive for me just to teach you, give you 3 points and a poem on how to love better. Because you can't learn fruit, you have to grow fruit. And this is the fruit of the Spirit. So it's really a byproduct of who we are. And so when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, the idea is this: the more you become like Jesus, the better the fruit. And so I hope that each week, my heart is to keep pointing you to Jesus. So here's where we've been so far in the fruit of the Spirit. We went through love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and last week we talked on the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. And so here's just a little snippet from last week on faithfulness. We kind of looked at it in these 3 points here, that it is faith, it's faithful, it's faithfulness. That there's a root word of faith and has 2 suffixes of full and ness. So faith is more than simply believing something is true, but trusting and relying on and being loyal to God. That was the next slide there. I got my son back there flicking the switch. Switch the flick, man. Flick the switch. Next one, we said faithful. Faithful is being so full of faith that you become a person of faith in all circumstances. That's the next one too, Joel. That's flick the thing. And then the next one, faithfulness, is the visible. It's the next one, Joel. Flick the thing. Faithfulness is to be so full of faith that you become the person of faith that is trustworthy, reliable, loyal, and consistent because of that faith. So ultimately, faithfulness is the visible quality. Faithfulness is the fruit of the Spirit. That was last week. If you ever want to get caught up on all things New Life Church, you can go to newlifeforkokomo.org and get caught up. All of our sermons are archived online there. Today, that means the next fruit of the Spirit that we are diving into is gentleness. He beat me to it. I like that. All right, I'll leave you alone, Joel. Thank you. Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. I want to help us kind of get a flavor for this fruit of the Spirit. So the Greek word behind the word gentleness in Galatians 5:23 that Paul uses is often translated to gentleness or meekness or humility. And so we're going to look at some scripture verses to help kind of like give us a palate for this word, to give us a taste of this word and how it is used in other verses. Sometimes the best way to help understand scripture is other scripture, okay? Let's look at some of these scriptures where this word is used. First, we saw it in Galatians 5:22 and 23 with the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness. We also see it in Ephesians 4:2, where it says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. We also see it in Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. 2 Timothy uses the same word here when it says, opponents must be gently instructed. James says it in chapter 1, therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. And this word humbly is the same Greek word as the fruit of the Spirit. James says it again in chapter 3, where he says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom." In 1 Peter 3:16, it says, "Do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against you, your good behavior in Christ, may be ashamed of their slander." The way my grandfather used to say it is, live in such a way that no one believes the lie. So the design of Christianity is actually to soften and meeken the Spirit. To soften and meeken us by our human nature apart from Christ. So before Jesus, a life is often marked by pride, harshness, anger, self-will. The natural spirit is always quick to defend itself, quick to retaliate, and slow to forgive. But in Scripture, we see that we see this in Cain's jealousy. We see this in Saul's rage, or the disciples' ambition to kind of be the greatest among one another. But Christianity is primarily about making, it's not primarily about making people tougher, sharper, more self-assertive. It's about shaping them into the likeness of Christ, where strength, listen to this, where strength is expressed in gentleness. Authority is cloaked in humility, and hardness is replaced with tender-hearted love. And what I want you to know, when we hear the word meek, we think of, I don't know, soft hands. We think of weakness. I don't know what you think of. But meekness is not weakness. It is strength under control. It's strength under control. Christ himself modeled this for us. He could have crushed his enemies with a single word. But instead, Jesus endured mockery, he endured insult, and he even endured the cross. Peter says, when they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. Instead, Jesus entrusted himself to him who justifies justly, and that is the Father. And Christianity's design is to conform us to this kind of Christ-like posture of meekness. So the first thing I want you to know about the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, is that gentleness is not the absence of strength. It is strength surrendered to God. We see it all the time. People responding in anger, road rage, complaining about customer service, people losing their cool turns into viral videos, and people just can't get enough of it, right? We see professional sports athletes that are trash-talking, egotistical when they do well, stepping over one another, getting into one another's faces, being puffed up. And all of this behavior is quite common, isn't it? It makes great headlines, it gets clicks, it gets views, but these behaviors of arrogance, pride, you know what? It's weakness. When people act puffed up, when people act tough to be aggressive, it's not strength. It is weakness. Let me help maybe prove the point. How easy is it to chirp back at someone that is chirping at you. You could be going along your day. You could be having a great day. And someone just, at you. And what do? You just probably pop off right back. It's easy, right? Someone honks at you. You don't even know where it came from. You're honking back. It's easy. It's natural. So it's likely our first response to just match their energy. You come at me, I come at you. How easy is it to see an aggressive driver trying to force their way through traffic and you go, I'm boxing this guy in. He's not getting around me. I see him coming up in the right lane. We're passing a slow vehicle. I see him coming up on the right lane, think he's going to squeeze in front of me. So I'm just going to get real close to the car in front of me. Basically, like, you're not getting in front of me, bro. Right? Like, I'll match that energy real quick. You're not going to let that happen. Oh, you're not cutting in front of me. I'm not moving to the other lane if you're riding my bumper like that. I'm just going to stay right here. You figure it out. I might just slow down a little bit. I'll match your energy. Let me ask you this. How much strength does it take to be silent to someone who is trash-talking you? How much strength does it take to yield to that aggressive driver? How much strength does it take to remain kind when you were treated rudely? I submit that it takes more strength to be gentle than it ever takes to be aggressive. After understanding these principles before us in the scriptures, now when I see people that have a propensity for aggression, I see weakness. And as a basketball coach, I tell our kids all the time, don't be intimidated by that behavior because that is weak and you are strong. And so you don't talk back, you don't chirp back. And in their face, when they get in your face when you miss a shot, ball don't lie, right? When they get in your face, what I want you to do is when they make a shot, you say, great shot. And then you go get back on defense. And that gets in their head. Because it takes more strength to be gentle than it ever takes to be aggressive. And the world thinks this aggression and this tough mentality is strength. But it is weakness. And it leads to people's fall. So I see it takes no strength to do what comes naturally. It takes no strength. And I would submit to you that a lot of these problematic things we see is natural responses in our lives. Let me put it to you a different way. It is a sinful nature that we follow. And to follow a sinful nature, listen, church, it's weak. Don't be weak. You were called to walk in strength. And I say it all the time. This Christian life is not hard, dude. It's impossible, which is why we need the Holy Spirit to empower us in this walk. And this is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life. So if you might be thinking, I don't know how I can't sound annoyed with that coworker anymore. You probably can't on your own. You need the Holy Spirit to help you. You need to live a Spirit-led life. So gentleness is not the absence of strength. It is strength surrendered to God. So I will choose to be gentle and then just leave the rest up to God. And that alone takes strength. Come on, be strong in the Lord. Galatians 6:1, this is the very next verse after Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 6:1, he says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, rub their nose in it. That's not what it says. If someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person, say it gently. You should restore that person gently. So the second thing I want to tell you about the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness is gentleness does not mean refusing to confront sin. It means confronting sin in a way that seeks restoration rather than humiliation. It's not a, I gotcha. It's not a social media post. It's the strength it takes to be gentle enough but bold enough to confront sin in a way that leads to restoration, not humiliation. Here's what the flesh says. The flesh, the natural way of responding, says, expose them, shame them, crush them, win. But the Spirit says, restore them. Restore him. And I want you to think about God's response to your filthy life when you decide to come to him. I want you to think about God's response to you when you finally gave up and said, okay, I done messed up, Lord. And what if we had a God that said, I'm going to crush you. You've been so stupid. You were a fool. I can't stand the way you did that. That's not God's response. That's not the heart of our Father. The heart of our Father was to give his one and only Son to die the death you deserved so that you can receive the grace and freedom you don't deserve. Because for God so loved you. It was out of love he did this. And yet, when he puts his Spirit in us, we are to exhibit the same kind of fruit in our life. And what's funny to me is I've met some religious people in my, 18 or 19 years of ministry. And I have to remind them, you got in by grace, but you want them to get in by works? You got in by grace, and you found no condemnation when you were found in Christ, but you want to condemn them when they're finding Christ. Help me understand. Gentleness. It's important to note that gentle does not mean, though, it does not mean no boundaries. It doesn't mean that you get walked all over. That's not what this means either. Gentleness is the strength to confront when truth in with truth in love and boldly treat others how you want to be treated. So it sounds like this. It sounds like this. I want you to know that this behavior is inappropriate. And I'm not going to allow it anymore. And if you continue, I'm afraid you're going to end up doing something you will likely regret later. If I see this behavior from you again, there's going to have to be consequences because this can't continue. Now, what questions do you have? So gentleness is not being a pushover. It's not being walked all over. It's confronting, yes, with truth and love. And the key point to gentleness is this. The key point is this. Tone. Tone. Let me read you my example again. It could sound like this. I want you to know that this behavior is inappropriate and I will not allow it anymore. If you continue, you're gonna regret this. And if I see this from you again, there are gonna be consequences. Now shut up and go away. Here's one of the greatest things I learned about being a communicator, not like this, but in life. You can be right, but wrong at the top of your voice. You can be saying the right thing with the wrong tone, and it makes you wrong. The fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, is the strength to reel in that emotion and stick to what matters, and it's the person that matters. So listen here. This behavior today, this wasn't appropriate. And I want you to know that we can't stand for this because it leads to destruction. And so if this continues, unfortunately, there are going to have to be consequences. And then when you ask the question, do you have any questions? Well, now that little, that to end with, do you have any questions, tells the person, I'm willing to listen to you. It's gentle, but it's firm. So it's not, the spirit of gentleness is not about being a pushover. It's not about being weak. I'm telling you, it takes more strength to do it that way. Before I was in full-time ministry, I managed in the corporate world, and one time I took over a department, and there was a problem associate in that department. No one wanted to deal with this lady because she was, we're in good company here, I think. She was crazy. All the other managers were afraid of her because of her aggression. She had a terrible attendance problem, and she should have been terminated by now. But because it was never dealt with and taken through the proper steps, there was like 3 or 4 steps before you could be terminated for attendance, we had to start at step one, even though she should have been terminated by now. But the reason why it had never been dealt with, because everybody's afraid of her. So I take over this new department that, hey, and I see this report, I'm like, why hasn't anybody dealt with this? And like, oh, you don't want to do with that. I was like, well, I see she's coming in later today, I'm going to make a meeting with her. And they're like, I don't know about that. So I sat her down, and I basically gave her this right here. Hey, listen, like, one thing I can praise you for is that when you deal with one of our customers, you're phenomenal. You really are. But you are hurting our customer experience when you don't show up to work. And that same heart that you have to serve our customers, you are actually hurting our customers because you're unreliable. And I see here that you have had an attendance issue for quite some time, and actually looks like we've been really graceful and we haven't dealt with it yet. So here's the deal. Today, I'm going to write you up for your attendance. Because you called off yesterday. You've exceeded your limit. And that is the policy. And I need you to make a new commitment to our customers that you will be faithful to your schedule that we give you. And remember, we give you your schedule 3 weeks in advance, and there's a process for you to put your time requests in for approval. Is this going to be a problem? No. Okay. Do you have any questions? She stood up. I wrote her up. She signed the write-up. She received disciplinary action, documented disciplinary action. I said, do you have any questions? She stood up. She shook my hand. She said, thank you so much for having this conversation with me. And when we do write-ups, there always had to be another manager witness. And I had this other manager, her name was Leslie, and her mouth went. She shook my hand. I said, hey, have a great day at work. She leaves, she closes the door, and Leslie goes, what was that? She thanked you for writing her up. But you see the difference, right? Even in your workplace, the Holy Spirit can be fruit in your life. It makes you more effective. And the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, is not being a pushover. It's strength under control. Because my associate wasn't going to get her way. I was going to get mine, and I was right. But you can be right and wrong at the top of your voice. Is this helping somebody today? Okay. The third thing is this. Gentleness is the spirit-led ability to handle people with care, especially when you have the power to hurt them. So if you have any kind of leadership title in your name, and maybe that title might just be mom, dad, husband, wife, grandparent, brother, friend, it might be team leader, it might be shift supervisor, you might be COO, CEO, CFO, whatever your title may be, project manager, whatever title gives you a sense of authority, gentleness is the ability to handle people with care even though you have the authority to crush them. And how do I figure that out? Well, you need the Holy Spirit and you need the fruit of gentleness. And because I'm sure any of us at some point in our life have experienced somebody that had the title of authority and would crush people. We had them in our line of business. It was always like, oh yeah, they made their way to the top and left bodies in their trail. Right? But that is not our call. Come on, Christian father. Come on, Christian business leader. That is not our call. We are to be Spirit-led, not just in the rows of this church, but the real purpose of the infilling of the Holy Spirit is to be out there. It's to be a witness, and these are its fruits, and one of them is gentleness. So just because you have a title that gives you authority doesn't mean that you get to be a jerk. It actually means you bear more responsibility to respond with strength. Let me say that again. No matter what your title is, husband, father, mother, teacher, business leader, just because you have a title of authority doesn't mean you get to be a jerk. It means you have more responsibility to respond with strength. Look at this Tim Keller quote. Tim Keller says, "Those of us of a more meeker temper should be careful not to overly disdain the faithfulness crowd, since it is always possible that we are slipping into cowardice and compromise. But those of us of a more confrontational temper should also be careful not to overly disdain the gentleness crowd, since it is possible that we are slipping into pride and self-importance. Let us examine ourselves." I'm going to say it to you in a different way to help this way make more sense. Gentleness without truth becomes compromise. Truth, here's what this sounds like. This sounds like, I just don't want to hurt their feelings. This sounds like, I just don't want to upset somebody. I want to remind you, Jesus was not harsh, but Jesus was also not vague. He was clear on truth. He was clear on what is true. And I'm afraid too many Christians are majoring in gentleness, but failing in truth. And what you end up with is a compromised Christianity, which is no Christianity at all. You end up with a progressive Christianity that just, it looks just like the world. And this is an artificial kind of gentleness. Well, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So maybe we need to soften the edge of what Scripture says on this particular thing. Maybe we don't publicly talk about that topic from the stage. We save it for private conversations so that no one can get their feelings hurt. Like this, that kind of gentleness is an artificial gentleness because it's subtracting the truth from it. It's easy to have that kind of gentleness. But it lacks strength. It lacks the walk of the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness. Let me ask you, have you ever eaten a grape? I love grapes. They're wonderful. But when I choose the grape-flavored popsicle from the freezer, how do we call that grape? Have you ever thought, does that actually taste like grapes? No, it is an It is a super artificial flavor that tastes nothing like a real grape. Just makes your tongue purple, and it's delicious. But that's artificial. It is an overinflated version of the real thing, and it's nothing like it. And this kind of gentleness that we see in Christianity sometimes is a gentleness of, let's dance around hard issues so that no one gets their feelings hurt. But here's the thing, you're not telling the truth. And if we're not telling the truth, that is not love. And it leaves people still living in deception. Teen Challenge would not look at its young men and women and tell them, to just be vague about addiction. Like, you know, sometimes people get addicted. I know. It happens, you know. It's okay. I sympathize with your addiction. No, what Teen Challenge is going to tell them is, listen, Jesus died and rose again to free you from addiction. And this is not for you. There is a better life to have. And you can be set free from this very vice that is holding down your life. It is a strength in the gentleness and in the truth. So gentleness without truth can lead to compromise. But also truth without gentleness can be cruel. It can be harsh. Truth without gentleness doesn't usually restore anybody. It just crushes people. It just crushes them. You're wrong. I'm right. Get your act together or get out. It's cruel. It's harsh. They're right, but they're wrong at the top of their voice. Truth without gentleness often says, I'm just telling it like it is. And that is their favorite line. So the gentleness with no truth crowd, their line is, I just don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. The truth without gentleness crowd says, I just tell it like it is. But sometimes telling it like it is, here's what they mean. Here's what I hear them saying. I want permission to say this without patience, without compassion or self-control. I just say it how it is. You hear this? So that is where truth becomes cruel. It becomes a way of the communicator feeling superior because it becomes a way to punish others. It becomes a way to vent frustration and call it courage. There is a difference between being faithful and being harsh. Faithfulness says, I love you enough to tell you the truth. Harshness says, I enjoy being the one who gets to tell you you're wrong. So truth without gentleness becomes cruelty. But watch this. But gentleness in truth is a compassion without compromise. Gentleness begins with compassion. It sees the person, not the problem. And that's what I love about Teen Challenge. They don't see these folks by their problems. They see the image of God on their life, and they're calling that out. It remembers that behind every wrong choice, every hard decision, every correction, every disagreement is a soul made in the image of God. So gentleness asks these questions. How can I speak in a way that helps them hear the voice of God for their situation? How can I correct this person without crushing them? How can I be clear about what is true without being cold? And how can I represent the heart of Jesus, not just the facts of the issue at hand? So compassion keeps truth from becoming a weapon. But gentleness does not mean that we blur the lines of truth. It does not mean that we redefine sin so no one gets their feelings hurt, that we avoid correction because we don't want confrontation, or we excuse dysfunction because to disturb it might be too harsh, or pretend that something is healthy when in reality it is destructive. That is why the second half matters. It's not just compassion. Gentleness is also without compromise. Jesus was full of compassion, but he never compromised on truth. He touched lepers without pretending leprosy wasn't real. He forgave sinners without pretending that sin was harmless. He restored Peter without ignoring Peter's failure. He welcomed the broken without leaving them broken. He confronted the proud without becoming proud himself. Jesus shows us that compassion and conviction are not enemies. They belong together. Compassion and conviction, no compromise. And gentleness is truth and compassion without compromise. It is the spirit-formed ability to tell the truth with the heart of Jesus. It refuses to use truth as a weapon, but also refuses to abandon truth in the name of kindness. It does not crush the sinner. It does not excuse the sin. It does not soften God's word, but it softens our tone. It is strong enough to be honest and tender enough to restore. So this week, the challenge is simple: to ask the Holy Spirit to help you practice strength in gentleness. Strength that does not have to be harsh, loud, defensive, or controlling. Before you speak, before you respond or correct, before you post, before you send the text, before you parent, before you lead, before you confront, pause and ask this question: can I say what is true in a way that sounds like Jesus? So this week, choose gentleness and choose it on purpose. Choose it on purpose. Be clear without being cruel. Be kind without being compromising. Be firm without being harsh. And be honest without humiliating others. Because gentleness is not weakness. It is strength surrendered to the Spirit of God. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? The worship team is going to lead us on one last song. And as they do, Holy Spirit, I just pray right now that as we prepare to worship one last time, that this is a moment between just us and just you, that you would convict our hearts in the ways, in the tones that we have had, in some of our past conversations. There might be family members we need to go apologize to and ask for forgiveness for our harsh tone. There might be employees or coworkers that we need to go ask for forgiveness for our harsh tone that we have had. But we're going to bring the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness back into the life of the Christian that is full of compassion and not compromise. That we're not going to be pushed over, but we will exhibit the heart of Jesus in what we do. Let the Holy Spirit now just reveal areas in your life where this week you're going to take the challenge and be gentle on purpose.